Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad about it. And I'm so glad you joined us today. I'm celebrating here on our Education and Training Day that we're honoring and recognizing the ministries in our church that provides training and education. And I'm going to be ministering about that today. I'm going to be preaching and ministering about from Hosea that people are being destroyed because of what they don't know. Your life is impacted by what you don't know. With just a little bit of information, your life can be transformed. And things can, you can see the power of God, and the things that are troubling you, God can provide answers for you. And I'm going to challenge you today in that from Hosea chapter 4. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we honor you, Lord. We worship you. We adore you. Glorify your holy name. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you that you woke us up today and gave us a fresh batch of new mercies. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And we come interceding and praying for one another and call each other's name out. We ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, to work out miracles for the person. Not just the people in this building do I pray. And we pray, but we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, outside of these walls, who connect with us. We pray, Father, for you to step into their domain and work miracles in their life. And I want to pray today that you would anoint us to be a mouthpiece for you in these next few moments. Let us be your instrument, God. Lead and guide us. Let the words that flow from our mouth find good ground to be settled in. Let lives be changed and impacted. Save somebody that needs salvation, God. Reclaim a backslider who's drifted out of fellowship with you. Recall them back to your kingdom, back to walking in your ways, in the name of Jesus. I'm praying today for persons who are unsure, and for those who are uncommitted and unsettled, and for those who are discouraged. Encourage them, God, and allow your perfect will to be done. Put a hedge around this place, bind every demonic spirit and every distracted spirit, and have your way. And we give you praise and thanks ahead of time. In the matchless, marvelous name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, while you're standing, open your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4. Minister Chambers already read these first six verses. I want to zoom in on verse 6. It's a very familiar passage. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." I want to talk about dangerous decisions. Anybody here ever made a bad decision in their life? All right, yeah, amen. You can be seated. Sometimes when I'm preaching on Sundays, I preach the same message all day. Sometimes I forget what I said. And I feel like I done already said something 100 times already. So pray for me that I can, you know, stay on course. So I'm going to talk about dangerous decisions, because if the truth be told, everybody in here at some point in their life has made some bad choices. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, all right. So make sure y'all was with me. We made some choices we have regretted. It's been probably a year or two ago, my oldest son called me one day. My wife and I were traveling. We were out of town. He called me. My oldest son, Joshua, called me to tell me about my middle son, Jimmy. How many of y'all know I get a lot of illustrations from Jim Jim? You always get that one child that keeps you praying. keeps you on your knees, seeking God, crying out to the Lord. Oh, God, have mercy. Well, on this day, Joshua called me to tell me some devastating news that my son Jimmy had gone to the restaurant to have some dinner with some friends. He finishes dinner, comes back out, goes to get in his car, and he suddenly is surrounded by police officers. And he gets arrested. And I said, he was telling me, when I talked to Jimmy later, he was saying that he was hoping that they was going to hurry up and put him in a police car so that nobody in the restaurant would see the pastor's son getting arrested. He got arrested because he had purchased a car, and the car turns out to be stolen. He didn't know it was stolen. He had gone through the steps. He had a bill of sale. But there were some indications, there were some signs that he should have noted to let him know that there was a problem with this being a legitimate sale. But when you are young and your parents don't know nothing, I see I got some witnesses already to this thing. Because he wanted the car, this car, so bad. It's not that he didn't have a car. He had a car. And there was nothing wrong with the car that he had. But he got an opportunity. He got an opportunity to purchase the car of his dreams. And the fact that it cost less than it should have cost should have been a sign to him that there was a problem with this car. The drama of it is he had saved up a lot of money. He'd been working and doing all the stuff he does and saved up all his money and took all of his savings to buy this car, pay cash for it. Lost all his car. Now, don't look too bad down on Jim. Because some of y'all have made some bad choices. And I'm calling it bad choices, but I really want to call them stupid choices. When I was preparing this message, I initially titled this message, Dumb Decisions. But I didn't want to insult you, so I decided to call them dangerous decisions. So many people make bad choices, bad decisions. You make bad financial decisions, bad relationship decisions, bad business decisions, bad health decisions. Go on and preach, Pastor. I'm just encouraging myself. And a lot of these decisions are made because we didn't have enough and proper information. We made a choice, made a decision, the consequences of them often are devastating. And I thought I should talk about this. Because here's the truth of the matter. We are a church. I'm proud of the fact that I pastor a church that makes pertinent information available to you on a daily basis in order to get the information you need to succeed in almost any area of life. Amen. Let me see. Can I say amen to that one more time? Say amen. Yeah, we have all kind of classes. We got classes on financial decisions and relationship decisions and business decisions and health decisions. We got things to develop you to be everything God wants you to be. The problem is we have 12,000 people that come to this church, 11,000 to 12,000 people that come to this church on a week, but only about 1,200 that take the time to take any of these classes. Keep clapping if you're clapping. If you ain't clapping, don't clap. See the people clapping? That's the ones that take those classes. See the people not clapping? They too busy. They ain't got time. They're uninterested. And so down in the core of your life, you're making decisions that are having heavy ramifications on your future and your life. And it's all because you're not willing to take the time to get the information you need to help you be boosted into a better place in life. This building has 44 classrooms. Our ministry center has 44 classrooms, 88 classrooms between those two buildings. We also have an empowerment center. It has one or two classrooms. But the bottom line is we have a ton of classes available, classrooms and opportunities and discipleship groups and classes to help you become the best that God wants you to become. And the problem is some of you are too arrogant or too busy or too whatever it is to take the time to get in the class. Y'all don't have to like me. I actually didn't come here. My job is not to make you like me. I'm trying to punch you in your face. I'll do whatever it takes to get you to the place to make the decision to go to the next level of your life. And it's frustrating to me as a pastor because I get calls that people got, they want counseling. And they want counseling from the pastor only. And then get mad when the pastor can't stop everything he's doing to meet with you. When the pastor's saying, I have made classes available to help you, but you ain't got the time to take the classes to get the information that you need. Let me tell you something. When I get sick and I have to go to the emergency room, I don't ask the doctor's name. That went over y'all's head. When you get sick and you want to be tended to, you want somebody to take care of you, you don't go in the emergency room. So now what doctor is that's going to see me? You get sick enough, you don't care what doctor it is, you tell that doctor to come on in here. When you come to this spiritual hospital, it doesn't matter who's teaching the class. Don't matter who's preaching on Sunday morning. It don't matter what's going on. Get me in the place where I can get the information I need so I can get well and get healthy and get healed. Some of y'all, you want to find out who preaching on Sunday. Y'all shouldn't have came to this 12 o'clock service. I feel free. I feel freedom up in here. It don't matter. You don't decide whether you're going to come to church based on who's preaching. You want the information, whatever instrument God chooses to use to make them available to teach to you, you should be in that environment. And so people are making bad choices and bad decisions, but we got information available to help them. Instead of you making bad decisions, we teach you how to make sound financial decisions. We teach you from Philippians 4 that you should live within your means. Yeah, we teach you that. We teach you from 1 Corinthians 4 that you should develop a budget. But no, you don't want a budget. You don't want to do a budget. You want to just wing it. And when you just wing it, your money just flies away. We teach you from Proverbs 11, don't co-sign. But no, you got to co-sign. We teach you don't use credit cards. We have a credit card cutting service every year. I got a bottle downstairs with cut-up credit cards. But no, you kept your 11 credit cards. And now you're in all kind of debt and you can't afford to live because you done charged your credit cards all up. You understand? We teach you from Proverbs 22, don't loan money to people. Don't loan money to people. But you went on, you didn't have time to go learn not to loan nobody no money. You didn't have time to learn that. So you're loaning money to people, and then when you call them up to get your money, and they see your name pop up on the caller ID, they ain't taking your call now. Now you're mad. Now you got a relationship that's been broken and bruised because you violated biblical principles. We teach you about relationships. Don't marry somebody that's not saved. But no. You feel like the Lord has anointed you to marry that joker that ain't saved. You special. But you didn't have time to take the premarital class. Too busy. Too busy. You too busy making money, too busy planning the wedding and getting money for the wedding to take the premarital class. We try to teach you how to raise your kids. Proverbs 22. To put some boundaries. Proverbs 22:6. We teach you how to raise your kids. But now, instead of you raising your kids is raising you. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. We got health classes. We got a whole health group. Teach you how to eat right, exercise, take care of yourself. But no, you like them chillings. Too, but I had to let them go. When my blood pressure got out of control, I said myself, I can't keep eating them things all the time. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? I'm trying to make a point to you today that we make available to this church. This is a church that the magnitude of our ministry cannot be measured by what happens on Sunday. But for some of you, that's the magnitude of what you've experienced. Because you don't have time, you don't have whatever reason, excuse you have, and your life is a mess. Because you don't have the information you need for your marriage to work, for you to raise godly children, for you to manage your finances, for you to be healthy, because you ain't got time. In the hallways, we got all lined up all in the hallways, all these little tables we have with ministries to tell you about all the information we have to help make your life better. Now, I wanted to talk about this because Hosea the prophet, he's a minor prophet. And he's called a minor prophet not because what he says is minor, but because he writes less than the major prophets, has been given an assignment to talk to the people of God. And God wants to use him to communicate a message to the people of God. And so God uses Hosea, both his life and his message, to communicate a very important message to the children of Israel. So God wants to show Israel how much he loves them. So he tells Hosea to get married. And so, but Hosea said, fine, I'll find me one of them choir girls. Or Ursha, I'll get me one of them Ursha girls. He said, I saw one of them, Ursha, she looked nice. But God said, no, I don't want you to marry a church girl. I want you to marry a hoe. Now, when I said ho at the 8 o'clock service, they didn't know what I was talking about. And I told them, I told the 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock, I used the wrong term with them. I shouldn't have said ho. I should have said lady of the evening. And I told them the 12 o'clock crowd will know exactly what I'm talking about. You can call her a lady of the evening, but she had hoish ways. Can y'all handle the truth? Somebody look at me and say, handle the truth. And so he marries her. He marries this woman of the evening. He marries her. They have three kids. And through the course of seasons of their marriage, she keeps going back to the streets. She goes back out. And on several occasions, Hosea has to go to the streets and buy her back off the beds of her lovers. Her life is so loose that the names of the three children raise in question whether or not Hosea is even their father. Now, this is an important deal because listen to what I'm saying. I'm going somewhere. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with dangerous decisions? I'm going somewhere. Somebody say, hold tight, him going somewhere. Tell your neighbor. God is using Hosea's life to communicate to Israel that even though Israel keeps going back out to the streets and keeps forsaking living for him and loving him, that he'll keep taking them back every time. Somebody ought to give God a praise that he keeps taking you back every time. No matter how often you go out there, no matter how often you backslide, no matter how often you sin, no matter how often you don't do what you're supposed to do, he takes us back every time. Somebody ought to give him a shout of praise and thank you. Every time he takes us back. But then Hosea spends some time talking, especially in this fourth chapter, about why Israel keeps going back. And I don't have time to talk about all of the whole chapter, but I wanted to zoom in on the fact that one of the problems of what causes them to keep going back is their lack of knowledge. And that's what he says, and I want to point out three things real quick. But before I point it out, I need to, I want to explain to you a tool of biblical interpretation. Can I do that with you real quick? I want to tell you one of the tools that you use, that I use often in biblical interpretation when I'm reading the scripture. I look for three things. I look for a principle. Holler back. What did I say? It is a truth. It is some truth, a principle of truth. Number one. Number two, I look for the program. The program tells you how to implement the principle. And then I look for three, a promise. God gives you a promise. So you get the principle. Understand the principle. Look for the program. And then number three, you look for the promise. Now that's not only true for powerful principles of truth, it is also true, that biblical tool of interpretation is true for elements of concerns of doing wrong things that God wants us to know. And those three things are elevated right here in verse 6 of chapter 4. Are y'all with me? Have I lost you? I'm almost finished. I'm going to be finished in a few minutes. And so here's number one. Here's number one. Here's the principle. He says in verse number 6, my people are destroyed. Somebody say, people are being destroyed. Look at your neighbor. Say, people are being destroyed. Tell them, people are being destroyed. People's lives are being destroyed. And that word destroyed means being, you're perishing, you're being cut off, your families are being messed up, and problems are abounding, and you got ramifications of decisions that you made, you're being destroyed. Some of you have accepted a destroyed lifestyle as acceptable. And a part of my job is to try to tell you that you don't have to live and accept destruction. God does not want you to be destroyed, but people's lives and families and homes and things and businesses and careers are being destroyed. My people are destroyed, God says. That's the principle. But then he says, here's why. The program that's making that destruction happen is they have a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A failure to know, a failure to perceive, a failure to understand and discern. Matter of fact, verse number 6 says, you lack knowledge, but he goes a little step further. He says, you have rejected knowledge. They not only lack it, but they've rejected it. Some Sunday, some of you come in here, and I pour out my heart and preach, holler, scream, jump and shout, run around, do all that stuff, to try to get y'all to hear, teach you the word of God. And on your way out to your car, you say, I ain't doing that. You push it to the curb, you don't care. You minimize the importance of the word of God. I'm not here preaching to y'all my opinions. Teaching you the word of God, the word of life. And God says there's a problem. People are being destroyed and they don't have the knowledge. And some of them, when they get exposed to the knowledge, they reject it. They hear the truth, but they don't apply it. They push it to the curb. They don't listen to it. They don't embrace it. He says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And he says, because you have rejected my knowledge, that's right there, verse 6, I didn't make it up. He says, I will reject you from being priests for me. He says, I can't choose to use you for my kingdom because you can't accept and embrace my truth. That's what God said. God said, I didn't say it, God said that. And that's the way some of you are living your life. And it's painful to see because your life could be so much better. And I'm trying to tell you, I like my life. I like living this kind of life. I'm living a blessed life. I like living this kind of life. I'm living a blessed life. I like the kind of life I'm living. I'm blessed when I go, I'm blessed when I come. I like seeing God open up doors. I like seeing God answer my prayers. I like seeing God work miracles on my behalf. And I can go on and on and on. I like my life. I like living this kind of life of a relationship with God. He loves me. I love him. I like this kind of life. Some of you have chosen the wrong kind of life. You've rejected the principles of God. You see, God gives us principles. We're not to look at them and decide if we like them. They're not suggestions. When God gives us something, it's a command. And if you want his favor and his blessings, you got to submit to the commands of God. It's not a suggestion and it's not my opinion. It is the principles of life that will change your life. And so the principle is people are being destroyed and the program is because of a lack of knowledge. And then here's the promise. Since you're being destroyed and because you don't have the knowledge and you reject it, the last part of verse 6 says, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. See, your decisions, the ramifications of your decisions and your decision to reject God's command extend beyond just you. They impact your children. They go down to your kids. And so God promises, since you ain't thinking about me, I'll forget about your kids. That's the way you want to live your life. But it's not the way God wants you to live your life. He wants you to live your life where you honor him and please him and love him and submit to him and take his commands and apply them to your life. That's what our God wants. Now let me close this phenomenal message, to which y'all are enthusiastically receiving. I'm I'm bringing my plane in for a landing. I'm pulling my boat into the dock. I'm bringing the car into the garage. When you love God, when you obey Him, the favor of God drips down on your children. Now my son got arrested. I was out of town. And I suppose if I had been in town, I would have rushed to the jail to bail him out. But I wasn't in town. So he ended up being incarcerated. And he was in a cell. And his cellmate was a pastor. By the way, the pastor was in jail because he had some tickets that he didn't pay. Y'all better go home and pay them tickets today. But if you don't listen to the pastor at home, God will put a pastor in the jail cell with you. Now, my son got out of jail. They dropped the charges. His record was expunged. You know, everything worked out great. But here's the great thing about it. He didn't know it was a stolen car. He didn't do anything wrong other than he didn't do enough research and didn't follow his father's advice as it pertained to buying this car. He didn't do anything illegal. And so they let him out. But here's the thing. God used the whole situation that while he was in jail, and the other pastor was preaching to him. He came out of jail with a renewed focus and purpose for his assignment in life. Somebody help me give God a praise and a glory for that. He listening to his father now. And I'm just trying to get you to hear and understand and get you to see and embrace. Get yourself in an environment where you can learn so you can be everything that God has called for you. Stop making excuses. Stop making everything else important that you don't have time to get in an environment where you can learn the principles of God. Stand on your feet and give God a shout. Hallelujah. Praise the God that we love and serve. That He gives you another chance. Now, do this. Do me this favor. Can I ask y'all just to stop walking for a minute? I know it's important. Wherever you're going is important. But nothing is more important than people making the decision for the Lord. Just stand still. And let me just try to get some people to make some life-altering decisions right now. I'll be finished, I promise, in just a couple minutes. Then you can go. Do whatever you need to go. Leave. You had the rest of your day to yourself. Just wait 1 minute. Somebody that needs the Lord. Somebody needs to get saved. Somebody needs to receive forgiveness that only Jesus has to offer. Somebody needs to rededicate and get back on the path with God. Somebody needs assurance. Somebody needs to be settled. Join a church. Wherever you are, just come on down here right now. Come on and say yes to God. Spiritually, they're going to counsel you, give you direction. Some of you are going to get saved today. They're going to tell you what you need to do to be saved. Some of you are rededicating yourselves to the Lord. They're going to walk you through that process. Some of you have doubts and questions. They're going to tell you what you need to do to get assurance. Some of you are already saved, but you're coming to join the church. They're going to tell you what you need to do to become a member of this church. For whatever reason you came, they're going to help you get to where you need to be and become what God wants you to be. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy. I'm so delighted. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of the Lord, I thank you for every person, each and every individual. I know you love them. I know you know their name, their journey. And I pray by the power of your might that you break every chain, that you forgive and cleanse, that their eyes will be opened, God, their life will be changed. Fill them with the power of your presence, Almighty God, and settle them in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, go home. I love you. Be blessed in Jesus' name.